Welcome back to the News at Noon. The phones lit up all morning here at WRCO as we kicked off the phone auction for Grace with a recap of how that has gone. Here is Bo Hendricks.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be here. And boy, what a great first day. Now, starting off this year, of course, the big news being that we actually have two segments more each day because our segments have been condensed from 30 minutes down to 20 minutes. So we started it off with a 10-20 segment. That started the day off with Bob's Auto Body's Emergency Road Kit going for $70 to bidder $315. Carol Clark's Ford bike that they donated went for $100 to bidder $445. The Krause Monument Square Polished Hornet went for $35 to bidder $120. And then Galaxy Skate Center Super Skater Pass went for $35 to bidder $440, rounding out the first segment. After that, we went to our second segment, which started off with Team Booney Tunes Wood Guitar Clock going for $50 to bidder $425. Diane Nautical's Blueberry Cheesecake, $65 to bidder $475. People's Community Bank's Beach Package with Cooler, $35 to bidder $405. The House on the Rock 2 attraction passes, $40 to bidder $280. And then Ray's Do It Best Snoopy Lego set, $80 to bidder $135. The last segment of our first hour saw Oakwood Fruit Farm's 3 Dozen Donuts going for $65 to bidder $610. Susan Gaston's fall-themed handmade cards with the Forever Stamps, $50 to bidder $295. The Robin's Nest Fall Wreath and Basket went for $40 to bidder $320. And WCCU's Kickback Rocker, $100 to bidder $445. The big ticket item in hour one was the Twin Pines two-night minimum. That went to bidder $405 for an amount of $410. Then we went into hour two, starting off with the John Deere Field of Dreams 1/64th scale model that donated from Rodney Schultz, $75 to bidder $270. Darcy Lou's Salon Pedicure Certificate and Basket, $60 to bidder $745. Willie and Judy Degner, their super ultra light action rod and four bearing reel, $50 to bidder $620. And the Fresh Baked Pie by Marsh Jelenic, $200 to bidder $325. In the second segment, Vitesnik's gift certificate, $85 to bidder $505. The Maureen Smith Bart Star bobblehead, bidder $635 for $55. Convivio's package went for $50 to bidder $120. And Cindy Deckard's donation of the Bath & Bodies, cream, lotions, candles, etc., $45 to bidder $280. In the final segment of hour two, we had a Heather Miller's certificate to Creative Outlets, $70 to bidder $110. Walsh's Ace Patio Furniture, $340 to bidder $155. Napa's donation of the Wet Dry Vac, $150 to bidder $665. And Randy Olson's 16 Yards of Gravel, $485 to bidder $450. The hour two big ticket item was the Wisconsin Badgers November 7th tickets, the Badgers taking on Rutgers, $500 to bidder $380. In total, for day one, $3,340, all going to Grace. That's amazing. And that's just day one. Looking forward to starting things off tomorrow for day two, so be sure to tune in for that. Also, if you didn't have a chance and you still need a bidder number, you can call us here at the station today and get that in. You're going to want to try to get that before we start, so that way you don't got to worry about it. You'll have your bidder number and you'll be ready to go. So thanks, Todd, and a great first day.
Thank you, Bo Hendricks. Thank you to everyone who donated items for the auction, and of course to all of the bidders. Congratulations to the winners. In the news today, the Ithaca School District announced the appointment of Dwayne Daly as its new principal, bringing a rich background of dedication and community-focused leadership to Bulldog Country. Raised on a dairy farm in Livingston, Wisconsin, Daly's early life was defined by the rigorous demands of farm work, which instilled in him the foundational values of hard work, perseverance, and responsibility. These traits have guided his personal and professional journey, shaping him into the educator and leader he is today. Daly's path to educational leadership was deeply influenced by his time as a student in the Iowa Grant School District. There, he witnessed firsthand the impact of committed teachers and coaches, an experience that inspired him to dedicate his own career to the investment in young minds. His youth was also marked by summers spent competing in rodeos across Wisconsin, including local events in Richland Center. These experiences in the arena taught him vital lessons in teamwork, challenge, and personal growth that he continues to apply in the school environment. With a professional career spanning over 20 years, Daly has combined his passions for visual arts instruction and coaching football and wrestling. His educational philosophy is rooted in providing students with the same belief and encouragement he received, paired with high expectations for every learner. By focusing on creating an environment of genuine belonging, Daly believes the district can unlock the full potential of its students and raise standards for the entire community. As he steps into his new role at Ithaca, Daly is eager to engage with the community, listen to local perspectives, and learn from the collective wisdom of families and staff. He is committed to building upon the existing strengths of the Ithaca School District to reach new heights of excellence, ensuring that achievement is within reach for every student. Emergency personnel and multiple regional agencies have entered their third day of intensive search operations following the disappearance of two 20-year-old kayakers on Saturday evening. The search, which began in the vicinity of Wickman Drive, remains active and local as state authorities continue to coordinate efforts in the Washington Island area. The incident was first reported Saturday at 6:48 p.m. Local dispatch sent Washington Island fire, ambulance, and police units to the scene after reports emerged that a male and female had ventured out into the water in a kayak without life jackets and failed to return. Initial response teams immediately launched water-based searches and drone operations. While light conditions forced the suspension of fire and mutual aid water activities at 9:58 p.m., ground and drone teams worked through the night until 2:30 a.m. before resuming at dawn on Sunday. The United States Coast Guard provided extensive aerial and water support until 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning, at which point they suspended their specific search operations. However, a wide-scale recovery and search effort remains in place. Local officials have stated that search operations will continue until further notice. Authorities have committed to releasing more information as it becomes available. A multi-year investigation into illegal deer harvesting in Green Lake County has culminated in a series of convictions highlighting a brazen case of wildlife crime. Led by Wisconsin DNR Conservation Warden Brad Latza, the investigation uncovered a string of night shining incidents occurring between 2024 and 2025. The case was first sparked in late 2025 when a buck initially reported as a roadkill victim was found to have been shot with a crossbow bolt. Later that same night, Warden Latza intercepted a vehicle slowly patrolling the landscape with searchlights, discovering a shooter standing in the roadway armed with a crossbow. The primary offender, 55-year-old Timothy Teat, was identified as the sole shooter and driver for a group of five men who traveled into the county to conduct these illegal activities. Green Lake County Circuit Court recently sentenced Teat to 60 days in jail and stripped him of all hunting, fishing, and trapping privileges for 6 years. His accomplices faced varying degrees of punishment, with Randy Peachman receiving a 20-day jail sentence and a 6-year privilege revocation for possessing a weapon while shining. Others in the group, including Robert Ryan, Austin Teat, and Caden Cummings, were hit with heavy financial penalties and multi-year privilege losses. This successful prosecution, aided by wardens Zach Feast, Kurt Haas, and William Hankey, underscores the vital role of public cooperation in protecting Wisconsin's natural resources. A longtime local businessman has died. Eugene Mr. G. Gabrizia known as Gene by most, died July 26th at the age of 83. Gene's life started on a farm in Wausau. Gene graduated from Newman Catholic High School, Crossier Seminary in Onamia, Minnesota, and later went on to earn a master's degree. His first job was as an English teacher, which brought Gene to Kickapoo High School in Viola. He loved working at Kickapoo and made many lifelong friends, and his heart remained in Viola. Gene led many students who went on to live successful lives. In the early 1970s, Gene opened his first shoe and clothing store, Mr. G's Outlet, in Richland Center. Gene was still teaching when he opened Mr. G's in Viroqua. When the three jobs became too much, he retired from teaching and continued in retail. Over the years, he acquired as many as 9 stores throughout the state. Gene was also Viola's village president for many years and always tried to have the interests of the community as his top priority. Gene was a very generous man and always helped out anyone who needed a hand up. Per his request, no public funeral will be held. Gasoline prices across Wisconsin have seen a significant uptick over the past week, rising by 6.9 cents per gallon to reach an average of $3.95 today. This local increase stands in contrast to a slight dip in the national average, which fell by just under 1 penny to $4.05 per gallon. Despite the weekly national decline, the broader trend remains upward, with Wisconsin prices sitting 38.2 cents higher than a month ago and over a dollar higher than this time last year. Diesel prices have also climbed, with the national average increasing by 7.1 cents to reach $5.32.6 per gallon. The historical context of these prices highlights the current volatility. Comparing today's rates to the same date in previous years shows a great deal of fluctuation. In 2025, the Wisconsin average was a much lower $2.93, whereas 2022 saw a peak of $3.81. Experts attribute the current price instability to a combination of geopolitical factors. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, noted that while optimism regarding potential deals in the Middle East has provided some relief to oil markets, continued conflict elsewhere, specifically attacks on Russian oil infrastructure, continues to put upward pressure on prices. Grant County authorities responded to 2 separate vehicle accidents Saturday. In the first incident, which occurred at 5:17 p.m., 75-year-old Livingston resident Robert Myers was operating a 1988 Harley-Davidson motorcycle southbound on Highway 80. While attempting to turn onto County Line Road near Livingston, Myers lost control and struck a ditch. He was thrown from the motorcycle and later transported by helicopter to a hospital for treatment of serious injuries. The Grant County Sheriff's Office received assistance from Livingston Fire, Livingston First Responders, Montfort Rescue Squad, and UW MedFlight. Later that evening at 10:10 p.m., the Grant County Sheriff's Office responded to a 1-vehicle crash near 4306 Slazing Road in Potosi Township. Stephen Ralston of Dickeyville was driving a 2010 Dodge Caravan when he failed to negotiate a turn, causing his vehicle to leave the roadway and come to a stop near a field. Ralston sustained minor injuries and was treated at the scene by Potosi EMS. His vehicle, which suffered minor damage, was removed by Donnie's Towing. Ralston was subsequently cited for failure to maintain control, with the Potosi Fire Department assisting at the scene. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. Area blood drives will be held tomorrow from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building, and Friday from 11:30 to 5:30 at Christ Lutheran Church in Spring Green. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are welcome. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and her colleagues have initiated a formal investigation into the Department of Defense following reports of systemic failures in providing medical care to service members injured during a March drone strike at Port Schwaba in Kuwait. This new inquiry is the culmination of months of pressure from Senator Baldwin, who has repeatedly criticized the Trump administration for preparation failures that left troops vulnerable and resulted in long delays for those requiring urgent medical intervention. The investigation highlights harrowing accounts from survivors, including two Wisconsinites who suffered traumatic brain injuries and went weeks without specialized screening or treatment. Reports suggest that injured personnel flown to Germany were met with limited care options and forced to wait in barracks due to hospital capacity issues. This lack of adequate care reportedly continued even after their return to the United States. Lawmakers have also expressed outrage over evidence that the Army downplayed the severity of these injuries to families, misrepresenting the extent of the trauma sustained by their loved ones. Beyond medical lapses, the investigation targets the DOD's recent revision of official casualty counts from the war in Iran. Lawmakers noted that the death toll was lowered from 18 to 14, with deaths recategorized under overseas operations in what they describe as a shameful attempt to obscure the true cost of the conflict. In a letter to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Senator Baldwin and her colleagues demanded detailed answers regarding injury classifications, the specifics of the Port Schwaba attack, and the administration's lack of safety preparation. The lawmakers have set a deadline of August 12th for a response, emphasizing that the American people deserve full transparency regarding the protection and care of U.S. service members. Welcome back to the News at Noon. The town of Rockbridge let us know Galway Lane will be closed Wednesday, August 5th, from 8:15 to 4 p.m. for culvert replacement. Galway Lane closed August 5th, 8:15 to 4 p.m. for culvert replacement. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting the public to get involved with wildlife conservation through its summer community science programs, Operation Deer Watch and the Game Bird Survey. These initiatives empower residents to act as community scientists, providing essential data that helps the DNR monitor the health and productivity of the state's game populations. By recording sightings of deer and game birds, participants help establish critical metrics such as fawn-to-doe ratios, which indicate the reproductive status of these species. The information collected through these surveys, combined with annual harvest data, provides DNR scientists with the key elements needed to make informed management decisions for Wisconsin's wildlife. Participation is open to everyone, including hunters, trappers, and outdoor enthusiasts who enjoy spending time in the Wisconsin wilderness. Engaging in these surveys is straightforward. There is no prior registration required, and sightings can simply be submitted through the Survey 123 app on a mobile device. Deadlines for submissions are approaching soon. Those participating in the Game Bird Survey must submit their observations by August 31st, while Operation Deer Watch remains open for submissions through September 30th. While the DNR encourages widespread participation, they remind all community scientists to prioritize safety and never attempt to enter data while operating a vehicle. By contributing just a few minutes of their time, volunteers help ensure a better understanding of wildlife distribution and abundance across the state. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles provides a straightforward path for residents to obtain the necessary identification for voting. It is important to note that while Wisconsin requires identification at the polls, there is no specific voter ID card, and a federally compliant real ID is not a requirement for casting a ballot. Most residents can use their existing Wisconsin driver's license or state ID card. For those who do not currently possess an approved form of identification, the process begins by visiting the DMV website to review the list of required documentation and locate the nearest DMV customer service center. While appointments can be scheduled online, they're not mandatory for those applying for a first-time ID. To ensure every eligible U.S. citizen can participate in elections, the DMV offers a specific petition process free of charge. This is particularly helpful for individuals who may not have all the required documents readily available or for those who need an ID close to an election date. In such cases, the DMV can provide a receipt that is legally valid for voting at the polls while the permanent ID card is being processed and mailed. For any specific questions regarding the ID acquisition process, the DMV maintains a toll-free hotline. Information regarding their other election-related matters, such as voter eligibility, registration, and polling locations, is managed and provided by the Wisconsin Elections Commission through their official website. Madison's mayor has issued a statement on a protest encampment at the site of this month's fatal shooting of a man by police. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says the conditions of an encampment at the intersection on the city's Near East Side are neither safe nor sustainable. The mayor releasing a statement as protesters have been on the site for over a week in the aftermath of the shooting that left 38-year-old Corey Ruiz dead. The mayor cites a lack of bathrooms at the site, food preparation without refrigeration, sinks and other basics, and she says the street being blocked impedes fire and EMS response. A Democratic political analyst says the Democratic primary for governor is now a two-person race. Joe Zepecki told WISN's Upfront it is now between Madison Representative Francesca Hong and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. This is now a clear choice between people who want it to be Crowley and people who I would argue and describe as people who want us to do things very differently as a party and a state. Many absentee votes have already been cast for Mandela Barnes and Sarah Rodriguez, but the former and current lieutenant governors have both dropped out. A court ruling last week makes it unlikely that Democratic voters will be able to change their votes before next Tuesday's primary. State Senator Kelda Royce and former Tony Evers cabinet member Joel Brennan remain in the race. Paper manufacturer Kimberly-Clark is pledging millions of dollars in long-term aid for the Fox Valley. The company got its start in Neenah in 1872, and CEO Mike Sue says the area devastated by a tornado 1 week ago is still its hometown. Kimberly-Clark is pledging $10 million in relief funding over the next 3 years and will work with local nonprofits and municipalities to ensure long-term recovery. Sue says he wants the Fox Valley to emerge stronger than ever. A new study says Midwest states are bearing the brunt of President Trump's tariffs and trade war policies. Researchers with the Midwest Economic Policy Institute found the region's large manufacturing and agriculture sectors make it especially vulnerable to higher import costs. Co-author Frank Manzo says the average Midwest household is paying more than $2,000 extra because of the tariffs. In Wisconsin, the study estimates household costs have risen $1,500. Manufacturing has lost about 6,000 jobs, and the state's economy has contracted by roughly $2 billion. The ACLU of Wisconsin has officially filed a lawsuit against Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Health Services. The legal action, brought on behalf of Trans Law Help Wisconsin and a transgender Wisconsin woman, aims to strike down a state law that prevents transgender individuals from updating the sex markers on their birth certificates without first undergoing a surgical sex procedure. At the heart of the dispute is Wisconsin Statute 69.15b, which mandates surgery for those seeking to align their identification with their gender identity. Plaintiffs argue that this requirement is based on vague terminology and violates the Wisconsin Constitution by forcing individuals to undergo unwanted medical procedures and disclose private medical information. Because birth certificates are foundational documents for obtaining driver's licenses, bank accounts, and public benefits, the plaintiffs maintain that accurate documentation is a matter of basic human dignity. They argue that by challenging these requirements, they seek to bring Wisconsin in line with states like Minnesota, which allow identity documents to reflect a person's identity beyond their medical history.